Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone, again, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm so glad you're here for another episode. I had a great weekend. I had a chance to hang with Rob Bell at his little conference that he did in Denver for a relatively small group, a couple hundred folks. It was really well done. He's promoting his new book, which is called How to Be Here. I highly recommend you check that out. He's got some great content that will certainly inspire you and encourage you and build you up. Today, in this episode, we are going to be talking about the pregnant pause. What is the pregnant pause? Well, gosh, that's a cliche if I ever heard one, right? I mean, we've all heard that pregnant pause notion. Well, we're going to dive deeper and we're going to actually look at what's inside that very space. So whenever you see or watch an athlete and you're checking out a sporting event, have you ever paid attention to the pause? Now, there's always a pause. There's a moment just prior to the action where the athlete coalesces their emotions, their mind, and their body into a single focused purpose. Now, we see this in the gymnasts, right? Right before they run on the pommel horse or do their routine. We see this on the diver who stands at the end of the diving board or the platform, the weightlifter. We see it in the swimmer who's getting focused, shaking out their arms. We see it in the downhill racer poised in the starting box. I mean, you can go on and on in athletics. The pause is everywhere. It exists outside of athletics. We see it in the person who goes on stage, right? To speak or to sing or to perform. They pause right before. It exists for the mechanic, even, who is engaged in a very frustrating or challenging task. They put their wrench down and they pause for a moment. I know that because I used to turn wrenches and I can tell you, you have to sit there and think about it. The pause precedes surgery. It precedes worship ceremonies, a big hunt. It comes right before big news. You see, many people even begin and end their day with this heavily loaded, purposeful pause. We call it meditation. We call it contemplation. We call it prayer. You see, all things have both a positive and a negative space. I think we know that, right? I mean, if you draw a box on a piece of paper, it's not just a square box. It's also all the things that's not the box, right? So if you kind of look at the positive space of the action that precedes or follows the pause, then the negative space of the pause sort of seems like nothing, right? I don't want you to confuse negative space with nothing. You see, the pause, that moment, that quiet space, that integration place is not nothing at all. It's something very profound. This space is filled with something amazing. Now, I know it sounds cliche, like I said before, but the pause is pregnant. It's a great descriptor. In fact, that's the perfect description because it's the vital point from which a transcendent moment is actually possible. You see, within the negative space of the pause is the possible birth of greatness, achievement, advancement, satisfaction, survival, and countless changes to life as we know it. How many of us want those things? Right? How many of us want greatness? How many of us want an achievement, an advancement, satisfaction? How many of us need to survive this? Right? This is not an overstatement to say that all of our advancement, achievement, and progress actually grows out of the pause. The pause is a vital piece of the puzzle. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. We're told that the ancient King Solomon was the wisest person that had ever lived. And he said this. He said, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning." It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 4. Now, the Hebrew word abal means to mourn. And Solomon is contrasting the wise heart and the fool's heart by saying one is mourning and the other rejoicing. This doesn't mean wisdom is equated to feeling depressed or downtrodden or sad, nor is it saying that rejoicing is a bad thing. Solomon is speaking about being sober-minded. But what is sober-mindedness? Wisdom now is the skill to use the knowledge that we possess. Wisdom isn't more knowledge. It's not like if you have enough knowledge, you're going to become wise. We've all seen children who possess very little knowledge but have great skill in using it. We also have seen very knowledgeable people who are complete idiots because they lack any skill despite all that knowledge. So we need to understand that wisdom is actually a skill. And this goes back to where we're talking about in the pause. You see, we've all seen people choke on the moment. And you hear the announcers say, oh, wow, they lost their concentration. They lost their focus. They lost something. You see, a loss of focus is a loss of skill. Right? It's another way of saying that we've become distracted by the immensity of the moment. And so this happens to all of us. But it's more poignant when you see an athlete or a performer and they're coming to this place where that performance is absolutely a life or death situation in some cases. Maybe not physically or in reality, but in other ways. It means so much. See, it doesn't matter how good we are in practice if we're not able to bring that sober-mindedness with us to the moment when it counts the most. So the difference between the gold medal and any other rank is far less in the preparedness of one's physical abilities. And that's just because everybody who competes at that level is pretty much very competitive. Sometimes there's a slight advantage to one or the other over their physical capability. But for the most part, they're all very equal. The greatest differentiator is often in that very moment, right? The differentiator is in the skill that they possess in the pause. Why else would events produce such disappointment for so many people? So what are we going to do about this? Well, many of us are not seeking the progress in our life. Why? Well, some people don't even want to get off the couch. Well, I'm not really talking about you. But what about those people who are really hungry for an achievement, for a growth, for something? But you're not seeing the progress that you'd like to see. Many of us feel like areas of our life have plateaued despite us putting a ton of effort and output into them. And I'm convinced that the problem is not a performance problem. The problem does not reside in our doing, but in our being. You see, the pause is not about doing. The pause is about being. And a sober mind produces well-being or shalom. Our world is full of millions of life coaches that are trying to get us to do more so that we can be more, right? Isn't that the idea? That if you do more, achieve more, you can get that new title, that new house, that new car, that new relationship, that new thing. And then when you do, you're going to be somebody. You're going to matter. You're going to find importance and satisfaction, all those things you think you want. Those are the aspects of being, and their lesson is that you get it by doing. I don't think that's the way it is. I mean, now let's face it. Many of us need to get off the couch. Many of us need to actually try something to put ourselves out there. We've been paralyzed by fear. We've been convinced that we don't matter. We couldn't possibly do it, that we don't have what anybody wants. And so we just sit on the couch and vegetate. For you, these kinds of coaching could be helpful to get you to actually do something. But there are many of us who are trying and still not seeing the fruit of our efforts. If that's you, then perhaps your coaching or whoever you're listening to is 180 degrees out of sync. You know, in my approach to coaching, I help people learn to pause first. You see, we start with the being part and we move to the doing. We don't start with the doing in hopes of the being. I believe that doing flows from our being, not vice versa, as the world would tell us. See, we must understand that a pause is spiritual in its nature. It's sobriety with all that is at stake. It's our alignment with the present moment, the presence, if you will. It's vital. It's a vital aspect of our humanity, and we all share this in common. There isn't a distinction here. I mean, are we really surprised then that peace and well-being and confidence and execution and optimal performance actually originate from the deep well of the pause? You know, I know I talk a lot about spirituality and religion and God and life. I also know that these terms are loaded for many of us. But I believe that too often we see religion trying to get people out of their lives and into another life or some exclusive system of belief. This too is a distraction from the base form of experience that we all have access to. And I think it causes people to label themselves or others as unbelievers simply because not everyone subscribes to such an exclusive claim of faith. But the pause is found in the deeper parts of all religions. But you see, the pause is not about religion at all. It's found outside of religion. The pause allows each of us to access the deep waters that are within all of us. Scripture says the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook, Proverbs 18:4, and that the deep calls to deep. That's in Psalms 42:7. So the deep within us connects to the deep that's within the pause. Do you see that? Do you see the necessity of this moment? It receives all comers. It's pure. It's unfettered. It's simply a person finding themselves juxtaposed between the present moment and the eternal moment. It's where we recognize that the past has brought us to this moment, and it's all been purposeful, useful, instructional. And it's where we look forward in anticipation and action by bringing that sober mind of the present with us as we go. So it's this place in between everything that's ever happened and the things that are about to take place. And you find this moment of clarity, of sobriety, and you take that with you into the world, into your next steps. That's the pause. So it turns out that the pause, the thing we're talking about, is what we always thought of as the beginning point of faith. It's also what we discover at the higher levels of religion, that it's actually the ending point of faith as well. In one sense, you could say that that's all there really is to faith, is finding that moment, that proximity that changes how you live. Now, if that makes sense to you, then you can touch this proximity. You can do it without the scaffolding of a religious system. And like it says in Romans 14:22, your faith will be between you and God. And so this is an amazing pause. It is pregnant. It's loaded. We all can access it. We all touch it. We see it in sports. We see it in performance. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's something all humanity shares in common and testifies to. So may I encourage you to find that pause today. Then acknowledge it and be willing to go deeper if the deep calls you on. All you have to lose is distraction, and all you have to gain is wisdom. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.